stand on his word. Okay. I would like you to please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That's where we're going to start. Today I want to, not in great detail, but I want to handle some things regarding the day of Christ. It's also referred to as the day of the Lord Jesus in the Word of God. This is not to be confused with the day of the Lord, which is going to be very, very different. We'll touch upon that in a few minutes. But this day of Christ, its opening event will be the gathering together. When Jesus Christ comes with the archangel, with the trump of God, and summons all who have ever believed on him and confessed him as Lord, and he is reunited with his body. That'll be the opening event of that day of Christ. For the saint, for the one who's born again, whether dead or alive, at the time of that gathering together, we're going to see that it's going to be a day of rejoicing, a day of redemption. It's going to be a day of great glory. For the earth, things will be a little different, because that will begin what we read about in God's Word about the day of the Lord. But see, we're going to be with Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? And when you understand where God says in his word to the born-again ones that we are not appointed to wrath, that we are delivered from the wrath to come, see? All in Christ. Isn't that something? And so what we will be partaking in is what is called the day of Christ in God's word. So I wanted to begin at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I've got probably more scriptures here than we're going to be able to get to, but it's going to be fun. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, I thank my God always on your behalf or concerning you for the grace of God which is given you, and I should read, in Christ Jesus. For the grace of God that is given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Isn't that something? See, that's the effect that the Lordship of Jesus Christ should have on a believer when they understand what it is we're called to. Even as the testimony or the witness of Christ was confirmed or established in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end, blameless or unimpeachable, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's something. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship or the sharing, the full sharing, that relationship of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's something. That he may establish you unimpeachable in the day of Jesus Christ, or the day of Jesus Christ, or the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 1. We're not going to look at every place this is used. It's sort of neat. Sometimes it's referred to as that day. Kind of cool. Philippians chapter 1. Just need to get my fingers to work here. Here we go. All right, Philippians chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it or continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is right, meet or right, for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And that's an idiom, and it means with the compassion of Jesus Christ. That's what that means. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment or awareness, that you may approve things that are excellent, or put to the test those things that are of greater value, those things that are genuine, of greater value, that you may be sincere or genuine and without offense, where you're not offensive. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Till the day of who? Christ. See? Until the day of Christ. Isn't that something? That, as I said earlier, our gathering together, those alive and those who have died, but those who are gathered together to Jesus Christ is the opening event of that day of Christ. Now, this was a mystery. This meeting in the air, some being alive, some being dead, asleep, was a mystery. And I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And that's important to understand. Let's start in verse 51. Well, let's start in verse 50. Oh, let's do 49. And we have borne, or we have worn, the image of the earthy. We shall also bear, or wear, the image of the heavenly. Isn't that cool? Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. See? Not all will be asleep or have fallen asleep or have died at this point. But all will be changed, whether alive or dead. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Okay? So this was a mystery. And this gathering together is what will end this administration of the mystery of the grace of God. This is the culminating event of this administration in which you and I live. And it is the opening event. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. We're just going to read those familiar verses. But it is the opening event of the day of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 4, I never get tired of reading these verses. I hope you don't. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others, which have no hope. Boy, this is, you know, what a great word. I would not have you to be what? Ignorant. And there is no reason for any saint to be ignorant of these truths, of what we're going to read here. God has laid it out. He just laid it out in his word so that we would know. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them, or we believe also, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, this is Jesus Christ himself, shall descend from heaven. There's a verse in Hebrews that says, "At when that time comes, he will not tarry." Isn't that great? Anyway. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And that word for shout is a summoning shout. He will command it. All authority has been given to him. He will command it. With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. See, he's been given that authority. So when that shout happens, the dead will get up. They're up. They're given new bodies. Boom. Just like Jesus Christ's body. Isn't that something? It says that in Philippians. Okay. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of many brethren. Many brethren. He's the firstborn of a new race of men. That's his body, the church. So the dead in Christ get up first, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And I believe that cloud is singular, which is interesting. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever, or so shall we always, be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. See, we need these words. We need to know these things. We need to know these things so that we don't sorrow. We weren't equipped to deal with death. That was never God's original intent. That's why it's such a horrible time that people go through. See? But God's given us a hope, and it's a sure hope. When he comes, he's not going to tarry. And it's going to be he himself that does the summoning. It's going to be he himself. And we're going to see when we get to the end of this thing that it is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ who prepares his body for introduction to God. That's the day of Christ. That's what we're going to be participating in, beginning with this. Isn't that awesome? We could just like close with prayer right now. I want you to turn to... Okay. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I just wanted to show you this one other one. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's kind of interesting because it's called the Day of the Lord Jesus. See? And it's that day... It's that day of Christ, where all who have confessed him as Lord will be reunited with him. Isn't that something? Day of the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I said. Yeah, verse 14. As also, you have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing or your boasting, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that something? You know, there's some other verses along these lines, and the boasting isn't going to be about self. The boasting is going to be about others. Who you spoke the word to that got born again and are a part of this thing. Isn't that something? It's just going to be a joyful, it's going to be incredible. It's just going to be an incredible time. And we're going to be with Jesus Christ. We're going to see him. Anyway. I wanted to read these verses in 1 Peter. And then we're just going to look at a few things regarding this day of Christ. You know, the day of the Lord Jesus, the day of Christ, is nothing like the day of the Lord. And that day of the Lord really should be understood as the day of Jehovah. It is what is spoken of and prophesied of all through the Old Testament. In Isaiah 2, you see it's a day of judgment. Isaiah 13 and many other scriptures. It's going to be a gloomy day, a dark day, a day of vengeance. See? There are going to be many things that take place. It's going to cover, you know, a substantial period of time. Those things will take place on the earth. Part of that day of the Lord is Jesus Christ coming to the earth himself. Hey, you know who's going to be with him? That's right. Raise your hand if you're born again. See, we're going to be with him. We're going to be like him. We're going to have a body fashioned like his glorious body. See, we're going to know as we're known. It's going to be amazing. And we're going to come back to this earth with the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, that day of the Lord is a lot of things. See, and we're going to see the contrast, or at least some of the contrast between the two. Because there are those out there who get them confused and mix them up. But before we go there, I want to read this. I love these verses. 1 Peter. I'm in 2 Peter. That's why it doesn't look like what I wanted. 1 Peter. We're going to read verse 3, and then we're going to read verse 21. I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 1. Well, you didn't know? Yeah. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. We're born again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Boy, there's a packed verse. Our hope was demonstrated or sealed when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And then I want to read verse 21. Well, let's start in verse 19. Let's read verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. And that redeemed is you're paid for. You've been bought. But this is what bought you. The precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him, by Jesus Christ, do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your believing and hope might be in who? In God. See, that's something. Now, let's go, and we're just going to read some verses together. I don't know how many of these we'll get through, but go to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. That day of Christ, rather than it being a time to be feared, is going to be a time of great rejoicing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing or boasting? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus, and it should read simply Lord Jesus, at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Isn't that something? See, Paul had held forth the word to these saints. And they were going to be together at that day. Philippians chapter 3. in that day, we will be like him. Verse 21. Yeah, verse 20. For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look, or we patiently wait, for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile or humiliated body. See, and it was humiliated by what Adam did, by his disobedience and the sin that entered. But God's going to make that right. Because these bodies that were humiliated will be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Isn't that something? Ah, it's going to be a great day. That's right. That's right. Let's go to Romans 8:23. I'm skipping over a few of these. You know, in 1 John chapter 3, it says we're going to see him as he is. Isn't that something? And it doesn't yet appear what we're going to be, but we'll know then. Romans chapter 8, verse 23. A lot of verses we could look at here. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, the first fruits offering, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption or the inheritance of sonship. And here's the inheritance, the redemption of our what? Of our body. See? That day of Christ is a day of redemption. It's going to be a day of redemption. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. This is so great. What a great verse this is. Galatians 5, verse 5. For we through the Spirit, that nature that we have because of the new birth, wait for the hope of righteousness by believing. Hey, are we righteous? We are. We're righteous in Christ. See, but at that day, that which we have been made in Christ will be fully realized. See, that's something. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation or comfort and good what? Good hope. Through grace. I love that. Good hope. See. That day of Christ is a good hope. It's good. Look at Titus chapter 2. And I know you guys are familiar with some of these verses. Verse 13 reads, looking for that happy hope. It's a good hope, and it's a what? It's a happy hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. This should more correctly read, happy hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. See? So, it's a happy hope. 1 Peter chapter 1. You guys are familiar with this? We've been born again unto a what? A living hope. See? So it's a living hope. 1 John 3:3. It's a purifying hope. Whoso has this hope in him purifies him. See? You know, grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and to live who we are in Christ and to set our eyes on the hope. It's the hope that motivates the believer. It's the hope that the saint looks at and orders their life accordingly. And that hope is more real than what goes on in this life. Isn't that something? You're believing, you're looking toward that hope is the evidence of things that aren't seen. And so that hope, that return of the Lord Jesus Christ becomes your sight. It is your compass. It is the direction in which you head. All in light of that hope. Do you understand that? Let's turn to this one, 1 Thessalonians 5. It's a good hope, it's a happy hope, it's a living hope, it's a purifying hope. And it is going to be a day of deliverance. First Thessalonians chapter 5. But let us who are of the day, verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of believing, faith or believing, and love. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation or deliverance. That's something. The hope of deliverance. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation or deliverance by our Lord Jesus Christ. So that day of Christ for the church, for us, for the saints, is a day of deliverance. It's going to be awesome. I want you to turn to Hebrews. Chapter 6. It is also a sure hope. Hebrews 6. Let's read verse 18. This is just such a great chapter in God's Word. But I'm going to stay focused here. Verse 18. That by two immutable things. Okay, verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Okay? Which hope? We have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. It's sure and steadfast. So another thing that this hope is it is a sure hope. It's a steadfast hope. It's absolutely sure. Because God has promised it. See? And he made an oath. That's something. Verse 20. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is in reference to the high priest that Abraham paid tithes to after he defeated the kings, got back all the Lot stuff. And this Melchizedek was a royal priest. See, he was a royal priest. Some of Israel had a problem that Jesus Christ wasn't out of the tribe of Levi. And what God is showing here is that there was a royal priesthood established long before Levi. And he was the king of Salem, which, by the way, became Jerusalem, and the high priest. And it was to him that Abraham paid tithes to. If you remember the record, Melchizedek, that royal priest, came out with bread and wine. See, that's something. So Abraham paid tithes in him. Jesus Christ is a high priest forever after that order, after a royal priesthood that was established long before Levi. Now, this forerunner is really something. Jesus Christ, well, let me explain it this way. The forerunner, he serves, it's from the word prodromos, and he was the one who would run ahead of a dignitary, clearing the way of any obstacles or anything that might hinder the arrival of that dignitary. The forerunner would also open the gates and announce the entrance of the dignitary or dignitaries following them. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We are waiting for Jesus Christ. He is our Lord, and he will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he's also a servant, in that he is serving as the forerunner, getting everything prepared for when he comes out from behind that veil. That veil is representing the very presence of God. That's the heavenly veil. Do you understand? And Jesus Christ is in the presence of God himself. He will come out from behind that veil. That's our hope. That's what we're anchored to. We are anchored to that presence of God. See? And so Jesus Christ is getting everything prepared. Now, I got to story time some of this. But when Jesus Christ returns, he is going to prepare all things with his body. It talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And those things that are contrary to the foundation of which no other can be laid, which is Jesus Christ himself, will no longer be there. Only those things that are according to Jesus Christ, the foundation, will be left. And it is Jesus Christ who will prepare these things. And as forerunner, he will then lead us and introduce us to God. And because he has prepared this, that's why it says what it says. And this is where I want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest or clear the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise, and it should read, from God. Isn't that something? See, when God presents us, or when Jesus Christ presents us to the Father, all of us, everyone will have praise from God. All that is part of that day of Christ. That's our hope. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Let's read one more verse and we'll just close here. 2 Peter.
Do you ever get tired of looking at this stuff? I never get tired of looking at this stuff. I just never do. Oh, maybe I meant 1 Peter. Hold on. I'm sorry. Yes, 1 Peter. I'm sorry. Verse 13. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. You know what that means? That you are actively involved here. See? Your mind is prepared for action. I'm sorry. 1 Peter 1. Verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end that is to be brought unto you at the revelation or the appearing of Jesus Christ. And that hope to the end is not to the moment where it comes. It means to the nth degree or all the way. It's similar to where it says in John, I think it's 13, he loved them unto the end. See, he loved them all the way. Jesus Christ. We hope all the way. That's how we live our lives. That's what this means. We hope all the way. We put all our eggs in this basket. That's it. See, that's how we see it. That's what runs our lives. That's what orders the way in which we live. That's what this verse means. We hope all the way. Put all of your eggs in this basket. And that's something. No aces in the hole. It's all the return of Jesus Christ. Because that is what we were saved unto. See? And that's something. So, amen. Amen.